I voted for the next president, Nelson Mandela. I feel I've made a big difference in our country today.
So you came up here from Louisville just to vote today?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the way. I got a test tomorrow in school, but I guess we had to do this.
Do you mind if I ask you who you're going to vote for?
I'm going to vote for Mandela, yeah. ANC.
So you're pretty excited about today?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
What do you think today means in the history of South Africa?
It means freedom for the first time. You know, we get to vote for the first time, and it's wonderful.
It's an emotional day?
Mm-hmm, very emotional.
So what's the struggle now? I mean, after the elections, what's the biggest struggle?
Moving on from now, I know a lot of my peers are not going to be able to make it, and that's just it.
Do you wish you could be in South Africa today?
I'll go yesterday.
This week on Common Ground, a celebration of democracy, as South African citizens living in the United States vote in South Africa's first all-race elections.
I traveled from, 2 days ago from Arkansas, Jonesboro, Arkansas. Took about 10 hours to get here.
You think this is an exciting day for South Africa?
Oh, yes, definitely. Had to come, and it's the sooner the better, and I'm glad it's here. You know, and hopefully now the political violence can stop and South Africa can get back onto, you know, the new road to South Africa.
I voted for the ANC.
Pretty exciting day.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting day. It's great. The feeling is great. This is all possible because of all our fellow South Africans who have died in the past years, including Chris Hani, Oliver Tambo, and all of them who have sacrificed for our struggle at home. And I just think I'm paying tribute to them. This is the success of their struggle and our struggle of the students at home, in the townships, everyone involved. This is a great feeling. This would not have been possible without their support and their dedication and their sacrifice. They even sacrificed classes to come and vote today. And it's great.
Common Ground is a program on world affairs and the people who shape events. It's produced by the Stanley Foundation. I'm Keith Porter. These voices are all from Chicago, where thousands of South Africans living in the U.S. came to cast their ballot for a new South Africa. Voting took place at the South African Consulate on Michigan Avenue. The all-day celebration took place on the sidewalk outside.
It's like a wedding, a birthday, a spring festival all rolled into one. As I was coming up here, I had tears welling up in my eyes because it's a day we've been waiting for such a long time. I just saying that, I get them again.
Inside the consulate's voting area, I spoke with the man in charge, Eric Brookhazen, the consul general.
And then the voters go through here to be processed, issued with ballot papers for national parliament. They vote in this room. Then they go through to the next room where they get the provincial ballot papers. They vote in that room. And I'll show you just where the ballot box is. This is where the ballots are put into the ballot boxes.
All right, and what will happen to them then?
Tonight, after everybody's voted and the voting area is closed, the ballots will be transferred into a canvas bag and shipped by DHL courier to South Africa immediately.
Can I ask who you're voting for today?
Yeah, the ANC, of course.
All right, great. So what do you think about today? I mean, this must be pretty exciting.
It is exciting. It's exciting because we haven't been afforded the opportunity to do that, and this is the opportunity that we've been waiting for many, many years. But on the other hand, I'm weary of what this will mean. After the election, what then? You know, the violence, will it escalate? Will the promises that have been used to lure people, you know, or to persuade people, will they be upheld? You know, all these things go through my mind, not just after the election, but what's going on now. Do people understand truly who they're voting for? Are they being manipulated? You know, people who may not fully be literate, you know, in understanding the process and understanding the literature. You know, all of things that went through my mind when I was in there, but it's over, it's done, I'll forget about it until Saturday and enjoy the rest of the day.
Oh my goodness, it's hard to put in words. I mean, it's something that I've known my grandparents and, you know, people before them have fought for, and my parents have fought for this right. And even though I'm young, I do understand the magnitude of this, you know, what's happening today. And I'm overwhelmed. I mean, we couldn't believe it. I was happy that I was able to come here and cast my vote.
Did you think it would happen in your lifetime?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I knew it would happen in my lifetime. I think maybe my parents didn't think it would happen in their lifetime, but, you know, I knew that we had just fought too long and it would have to happen sometime. And it's so sad that it's, you know, so many lives were lost in the process, but I guess that comes with the situation. You know, you're going to lose people in something like this. So, yes, I was hoping it would come in my lifetime, and I'm glad it did.
Is this your little girl?
Yes, this is my little girl.
What's her name?
Her name is Amber.
Yeah. How old is Amber?
She's 2 years old. Yeah. She's American.
Do you think this will mean a better South Africa for her if she chooses?
I hope so. I certainly hope so. We have fought too long to, you know, let all our dreams just, you know, fly out the window. So I will, you know, I believe my getting involved and my casting my vote is a way of ensuring her future, you know, to know that I am doing something, I am controlling my future in a way, you know, to choose for the person that I want to be in government, so that I know that what they're doing, hopefully, will be what I'm, you know, my for my interests also. So I'm hopeful.
In order to vote in the U.S., South Africans had to provide some evidence of South African citizenship, a birth certificate or a passport. One voter, Thomas Swana, showed me his birth certificate and explained how this one document symbolizes the very reasons he put himself in voluntary exile from South Africa.
Now, my father, Thomas Joseph Swana, is half Irish and half Zulu. And his father was Zulu, and Swana was his Zulu name. And he married a Kelly from Ireland, and that wasn't exactly the done thing at the time.
That's two generations ago.
Two generations ago, there was no official apartheid. It was just unwritten separation. It wasn't illegal at that time for co-marriages to take place. So he ends up being what they describe later on in the late 40s after the Apartheid Act as colored. He marries Emma Besson, my mother, who is an Afrikaner, still with some African in her background somewhere, as all white South Africans do have. But she technically is white and an Afrikaner. So she has to therefore take on the same race or color distinction as my father. So here, right here on my birth certificate is Cape colored, which is what my father is, which is therefore what my mother becomes, which is obviously therefore what I become. And with this stamp, I go through life in South Africa, limited by whatever I'm limited to or advantaged because I'm not Bantu or black. Okay? Ridiculous.
You say you pulled that out of your safety deposit box today?
Yes. Yes.
When was the last time you had reason to look at that?
When I was married. That was in 1981. Mm-hmm. And that was the last time I had reason to look at it. But it's what we all left for. It was because of the stamp. It was because of the political inclination and the basic containment that being stamped a colored person would have here or anywhere, South Africa especially. But that's how it goes. That's what it's all about. Hopefully that all changes today.
Do you mind if I ask who you voted for today?
No, not at all. I voted for Nelson Mandela. I've followed the trauma of his life throughout my life, and I have every dream he has, I think, about our country, and I really do believe that he and his cabinet, from what I've read, do represent the best for the majority of the people that exist there.
Did you ever think that in your lifetime you'd be able to cast a ballot for Nelson Mandela?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Not in my lifetime. This is very, very strange.
You came up here to vote today. Can I ask you who you voted for?
Yes, I'm voting for Mandela.
What does today mean for you? Is it an exciting day?
Yes, it's a very exciting day.
Uh-huh. How do you think this day will be viewed in South African history?
When I talk about the history of South Africa, from my heart, it becomes very bad. Because I know how we did struggle, especially our parents, they struggled a lot. Because I remember while I was young, the way they were treating, especially my mother. And she was a very educated woman, but they didn't give her space as an educated woman. They just give her, like, she never even go to school. They even, because she was an assistant nurse, and they will let her, when she enter in the door, to change her shoes, to take out her shoes. Then they will let her to have her own plate, not to sit with them, to sit outside on her lunchtime. That was very, very bad. And I remember also my biggest sister, the time she was working, that they would let her to hide her hair when she entered in their house, because before she was also educated, but they didn't give her a good job. So she decided to be a babysitter. And they just gave her a uniform also to hide, and they showed her that this is your plate, this is your pot, you must not touch our cup, and you must, if you come to our bedroom, you can take out your shoes and everything. And even when we travel to school, we'll just see them. We're not allowed even to go inside to their bus. If we go inside to their bus, they won't even say, excuse, you're not allowed here. They will just push you, throw you out. They will never, ever give you a respect. It was very, very bad. So now, as we are coming to one in South Africa, I become very happy. I hope everything will change.
Today on Common Ground, we're talking with South African voters in the United States. Printed transcripts and audio cassettes of this program are available. Listen at the end of the broadcast for details. Common Ground is a service of the Stanley Foundation, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that conducts a wide range of programs meant to provoke thought and encourage dialogue on world affairs.
What's your name?
Lungile.
How do you spell that?
L-U-N-G-I-L-E.
And that's your first name?
Yes.
And what's your last name?
Shoba, S-H-O-B-A.
Okay, and did you just vote?
Yep.
You excited?
Very much so. I'm so happy about it. I actually never thought it would happen in my lifetime.
Where did you come from today?
You mean here? Yeah. Northwestern University, that's okay. Where I go to school.
And where's your home in South Africa?
Natal, Pietermaritzburg.
Do you mind if I ask who you voted for?
It's supposed to be a secret ballot, but I don't mind.
Okay, that's why
obviously,
I asked.
Obviously, Mandela.
So what do you think about today? I mean, this is a historic day.
It is. It's a big day. The way I see it, it's a realization of the struggles and sacrifice of so many people in South Africa. So many people have given the most valuable thing they have, their lives, so that us South Africans can have this opportunity. So I'm really so glad that this is really finally being realized. We still have a long struggle ahead of us to redress the disparities of apartheid. I mean, the legacy of apartheid is still going to be with us for a little bit or for quite a while. So we really have to work hard and put our all efforts together to really make sure that we create a just society for all our children and for all of us.
Do you wish you could be in South Africa today?
Oh, very much so, very much so. I was talking to people from home, and the mood, it's mixed. People are quite excited, but at the same time, there's fear, but people are still so determined to go and vote. So in a way, I feel so lucky that I can vote in a safe area, and so many people are putting their lives on the line, even just by going to vote back home.
Kathy Fleming is an American working at the South African consulate.
it's quite unbelievable. I mean, I'm being not South African, being American, it's really people in America, I think, take for granted the fact that they are able to vote. So it is a pretty remarkable day.
As in South Africa, the polling places in the U.S. were monitored by international observers. One of them in Chicago was Ron Precht, president of the Illinois United Nations Association.
As an observer, I'm on behalf of the UN. My role is solely to observe the situation and report to the UN as my impressions of how the process was carried out.
You must find this to be a pretty exciting day, though.
Yes, it's very exciting, and I'm delighted to be a part of this wonderful occasion. I've looked forward to it for a long time.
That enthusiasm was shared by another official observer, Wallace Gator Bradley. He was supplied by the Chicago chapter of the NAACP.
I feel good. I felt great when I saw the students came from Minnesota to come to vote, black and white. You know, I say black and white because that's powerful. You know, you didn't see a racist twang in it. If the whole world can be like South Africa's about to become, the world would be a better place. So I'm real proud to be here.
Viva ANC, viva!
Viva!
Viva Mandela, viva!
Viva!
Also watching over the voting in Chicago were representatives of the African National Congress, the eventual winners of the election process. Bobby Mayone came from the ANC office in Washington, D.C.
I'm 38 years old. I've been in the United States for 8 years almost now, and I've waited for this moment, this day. I remember when Nelson Mandela came out in 1990, I was not too much excited about his release because I said it's just like releasing a bird that has been in a cage but that is still confined to the walls of a house. And this is the right, you know, direction. You know, it's a step in the right direction in terms of, you know, this democratic process in South Africa. But obviously there's going to be a lot of work to be done.
So you're representing the African National Congress, and of course they're expected to win today or over the next few days, and then there will be some enormous problems to face. What do you think will be the biggest hurdles?
Well, I think the biggest problems, as far as I'm concerned, will be first the needs, or the basic needs of people, African people. The issue of land is going to come up again, despite the fact that the African National Congress has not drummed it. But when you look at the Freedom Charter states that the land in South Africa should belong to all the people who live in it. But I want to go beyond that and say, proportionally, we have to redistribute the land in South Africa. You can have millions of Africans living on a smaller percentage of the land, and that's why the Pan-Africanist Congress agrees with us on this issue of land. Another problem that I foresee that we have to work on is education. The reason I'm here in the United States to study is because, like many other people, we either studied before in South Africa, but the system of apartheid stopped us from pursuing our studies because of our political activism. And we ended up getting scholarships to study in the United States, and you'll find many other people who are just like me who came here and who are staying on to get the better, you know, qualifications academically, so that when we go back, nobody can make an excuse that we don't have qualified people to run the country, and this is what it's all about. Housing, healthcare, hey, we're talking about a country that is very industrialized on the continent of Africa, very modernized, very well equipped in terms of resources. But what do? We're almost like America. We don't provide healthcare for all our citizens. And I'm excited by the debate that's going on in your country, and we're taking all the lessons. I'm actually taking a class in the health economics of healthcare in the summer at the U of I, so that we can get ready for these processes that are coming up. And to a lesser extent, of course, we have to address the issues of what I call institutionalized racism in South Africa. The police force, the Navy, you know, in your country, you've had problems trying to keep blacks out of, you know, the Navy, the Air Force, and it wasn't until probably around the First World War, the Second World War in particular, that African Americans could participate, you know, in fighting with the Allied forces in Europe. And I think that South Africa has to open up its doors, and of course the Afrikaners in particular have to open up their hearts and minds and realize that this is an irreversible process. We can't go back to 400 years of colonialism.
So what are the big challenges now?
Oh, my challenge is this. We can't lead our country without education. Because if we don't go forward with education, we'll be still in a dark forest.
The transitional government's going to face some enormous hurdles. What do you think will be the biggest crises they'll face?
Well, I think it's going to be meeting black expectations.
This is a white South African who told me that he'd voted for the National Party of F.W. de Klerk.
There's no doubt that people have very unreal expectations, and so I think that's going to be the major problem. There's limited resources. There's only so much you can tax people without destroying the economy. So in terms in the short term of meeting any of those expectations, I think they can't do it, basically. And so they're going to have to try and dampen those expectations.
You say you'd like to go back someday. What would be the circumstances that would bring you back?
Well, I'd like to see how things go for another year. I mean, if Mandela delivers what he says he's going to deliver and is as balanced as he says he's going to be, I think it'll be a good country. I think it's got a huge future. I think we're standing on the brink of an abyss, though. Any more talk of nationalization, trying to move too far down the socialist path, the world's changed. It doesn't work anymore. The IMF and everyone else won't give us money, so I won't go back in that case.
Outside the South African consulate, many of the voters lingered on the sidewalk, greeting old friends and meeting new ones, and basking in the history of the moment. After driving for several hours just to get there, many were reluctant to hurry back. Among the well-wishers were several American anti-apartheid activists. One of those was Joan Gehrig, coordinator of the Southern Africa program for both a group called Synopsis and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. She gave each voter a flower and a warm smile.
Many days we've been outside the consulate protesting the policies of the South African government, pushing for the consulate to leave Chicago because it was not a representative of the people of South Africa. So today we're celebrating with them, and we're not telling them to shut it down today.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that we're here on 200 South Michigan Avenue and history's being made right here.
Yes, yes, and it's just fun to see people come in who've never voted before and to see the joy of that they're coming.
Now, you've obviously been involved with these issues for a long time, and the obvious question is, what now for the anti-apartheid movement here in the U.S.?
Well, a lot of people will be asking that question. One thing here in Chicago, we'll be continuing our connection with our sister community in South Africa, Alexandra. So we'll be listening to them and getting some suggestions from them how we can best go forward. But it's going to be a lot of people-to-people work now. So that's one thing that we have on the books. We don't know what else is going to happen. But one other thing we'll be working on, those of us who worked very hard for divestment will now be encouraging our colleges, our pension funds, etc., to invest in South Africa. And that's going to be a big push in the next couple of years.
Well, I think the people who are in solidarity with us should realize one thing. That we're going to have, as I just mentioned a few, minutes ago, enormous problems beyond this election.
Again, this is Bobby Mayone of the African National Congress.
Remember that this election is only putting in place a government of national unity. And then we're going to have elections 5 years down the road. Those will be the real elections for us so that the ANC can, when they win the majority of votes, appoint their own cabinet, which is not going to happen right now. I want them to know, with all respect and humbleness, that we know they are out there, they're still our friends. We don't want them to give up their friendship with us, their loyalty to our support. We want people to be vigilant, and I know it's going to be difficult for them to do anything beyond this, but we want them to be vigilant as, guardians of human rights, as you mentioned earlier on. Whether it's the oppression of women, the abuse of children, lawyers in place all over the world who believe in international law should be there to know that when these achievements come, you know, to the fore, they are not achievements for us, they are achievements for the international community. For instance, we believe in South Africa that as we now reach this higher level of democracy, we will still be thinking about people in Nicaragua, we'll be thinking about El Salvador, we're thinking about people in Bosnia, we're thinking about people in the rest of Africa. Because apartheid was not just about South Africa, it is about humanity and international laws. So these are things that we will have to keep working on, because we know that even right in the United States, there is a violation of human rights in many respects.
This is a triumph. You know, it's a momentous occasion. I think that many people will be shedding tears today, because this is not just a celebration of what we've achieved, but a commemoration of those who have died and gone before us, helping us get to this point. And I think that needs to be remembered, and that is more important in some ways than the actual voting.
Outside the consulate, a large number of voters of many races joined in singing the new South African national anthem, Nkosi Sikelele Afrika, God Bless Africa. For Common Ground, I'm Keith Porter. Printed transcript or an audio cassette of this program, please send $5 per transcript or $11.70 per cassette to Common Ground, show number 9419, Journal Graphics, 1535 Grant Street, Denver, Colorado, 80203. Again, ask for program number 9419. To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-825-5746. If you'd like more information about the Stanley Foundation, or you have some comment about the program, please write to us at 216 Sycamore Street, Muscatine, Iowa, 52761. Again, the toll-free number to order cassettes or transcripts is 1-800-825-5746. Our theme music was created by B.J. Lederman. Common Ground was produced and funded by the Stanley Foundation.